Hello, friends. Welcome to a program I like to call The Middle Line, a series of conversations with our great teacher and friend, Dr. Michael Lightman. Good morning.
Shalom, shalom, Dr.
Lightman.
Anymore? Hello, Todd. I'm very happy for this opportunity for us to talk. Let's go.
I'm very happy as well. We spoke 10 years ago, the last time we spoke like this. Of course, we were in person. Yeah. Your beard was a little blacker and my hair was a little blonder. So we'll get right into it. Basically, I want to have a conversation with you about where we kind of scrutinize the middle line and other kind of topics around our studies in Kabbalah. First, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your background. I know your background is in biocybernetics, which I had to look that up, by the way, to determine what that is exactly. But it's the science of communication and control with a living organism, particularly on a molecular basis. Yeah. Basically, it's the study of systems. Is that right? Can I just ask you then, why did you choose this as a background out of interest before studying Kabbalah, really?
I wanted to know the secret of life. What is the secret of life? Where does life come from? How does it develop? How does it evolve? What happens? Where is its origin and where does it end? That in the universe, there's nothing more complex, nothing more important or exalted than human life. So where does man come from? What goes on with him? What is he supposed to come to? Where does he disappear? All these things were interesting for me. I wasn't drawn to psychology or something, neither to philosophy, but only from the scientific point of view of things.
So you could sort of determine early that in the fact that you were drawn to the meaning of life, that the actual components that make up the human body and the human being were essential to, let's say, deconstructing that mystery or that puzzle.
Again.
Yes.
So,
I even remember as a child, I looked at the stars and everything, and I didn't know, where did I come from, what for? Because in day-to-day life, you know, there's no point in living. Everything's so obvious, so clear. You begin your life, you live your life, you die. It's kind of useless. The question about the meaning of life, what's the purpose, really worried me.
I think most students who come to the path of Kabbalah obviously have that same burning question that has brought them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. So in the study of Kabbalah, we work in tens, which is in Hebrew a Syria or a minyan. And that's a system, let's say. It's almost like technology, right?
Mm-hmm. Again.
What's special about the number 10 in spiritual technology and how does it relate to corporeal technology, let's say? If that makes sense.
Life can't exist without some kind of construction, structure. Nothing can develop or evolve in just one quality. You need two forces for something to develop, to evolve, two opposite forces, or that are at least that there's some kind of difference between them. And there's the metabolism between them, exchange of forces of different things. And then in the change between them, exchange between them can develop something that evolves, develops, and reaches a certain new state. And therefore, life is always a combination of two opposite forces. But when we start going deeper into the structure of these two forces, we see that out of these two forces, they actually become five forces. And out of five, they become 10. Meaning, to express the qualities of two forces, we really need 10 different forces. And when they work in a kind of certain special connection between them, communication between them, they create a system that is a system of emission and absorption, of metabolism, a system of a system in which they can give birth to new states, new things, new qualities. And therefore, what follows is that eventually, naturally, these two forces have 10 different aspects.
Okay. And there's a balance between negative and positive within that system of tens, let's say. Is it five and five? Is that like a balance that we're actually aiming for?
More or less, yeah. We say that it's plus and minus on both sides, that are in a special kind of, when they reach a special kind of connection between them, they form the ability to limitlessly develop, and this development is called life.
Okay, that's interesting. And that actually brings me then to the concept of the middle line, which is where we, as Kabbalists, students of Kabbalah, strive to create a third element within that balance, strike a third element and progress based on the concept of negatives and positives in that balance. So how does the middle line... Let's start with this. How important is the middle line in developing ourselves evolutionarily?
Were we to just have one line, positive or negative, doesn't matter which, but just one, then we'd be like animals, like the still, the vegetative, and the animate, because they have only the evolving force that develops them. Because we can be included of two opposite forces in the correct combination between them, we can reach a state in which we will know where do these two forces come to us from, that we can elevate ourselves above the two forces to their source, and that way we attain the upper force. We call him the creator, because on our part we attain him from our state upwards. From our state, we call it Bore in Hebrew, creator, Bore in Hebrew, consisting of the words Bo'e, come and see, which is actually the source, the origin of our life that we get our life from. And because we have these two opposite forces, and on the other hand, we're all the time in this inner kind of collision, doubts, but if we rise above that, in the so-called middle line, then we achieve the source of our root.
This is a very uniquely spiritual, very uniquely Kabbalistic concept. Goal is to establish, and not only establish the middle line, but to bring it out and expose it to the masses, to humanity. That's really our mandate as students of Kabbalah, correct? And you make it a very strong point that, you know, your students should always be disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah, disseminating this middle line to humanity. What is the most effective means for spreading that message? How does the concept of the 10, our work in the 10, how does that assist us? How can it assist us in exposing the middle line to the mixed multitude?
First of all, if we attain the middle line, we attain the upper force, which is the source of these two lines that exist in us. This is one thing. Another thing is that when we come to the middle line, we can see that we can integrate in the upper force, become included in him, and there all of us can integrate together in one force, in one connection. We stand no chance to connect between us unless each of us tries to ride to that middle line and there integrate with everyone, and to the measure to which we become integrated with one another to that extent in the middle line, we can also achieve the upper force, the creator, in an ever greater intensity.
So the process for us of dissemination of a message of love, care and concern, mutual guarantee, in short, love others, love the other as you would yourself. In a sense, our efforts to disseminate that message also assist us in discovering the middle line ourselves. Is that correct?
Of course.
Is it obviously it's essential, but is it the only thing? Because we work in groups, we work in our own 10 internally, but we're also meant to go externally. So there seems to be a middle line almost in that process as well, between the internal work and the external work.
In our life too, we use the concept of the middle line, but it's not the same middle line that we talk about in the wisdom of Kabbalah. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, the middle line is that we rise above the two lines in order to find the upper force that on our part is like the combination of right and left of both lines, but also that is higher than them, superior to them. And in our world, we say too that it's good, plus and minus, to be in between the two. That's the best possible state. Then we find energy, we find the good relations between us, between hate and love. That it's good if we use all opposing forces in nature, that we know how to use the happy middle between them, so to say, the happy middle, that we know how to use them in a state where there is resistance and collision between them, and then upon it we do the work. Between plus and minus, like in electricity.
All right, let me move forward a little bit. I've always had this kind of theory that if you look at the world as the same as you would a body, a human body, each part of the world, let's say even by continent or culture, has its own process of evolution, egoistic evolution. So what you might see in Africa in terms of how they are meant to grow and develop through, what we might call blows or different occurrences, problems. What you see in Africa might be very different than what you see in South America, for example. More or less all part of our common soul. Yeah, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I'm listening.
Well, all, So all parts of our common soul, but developing in various different capacities at different times and in different ways.
Ken?
I would call that an evolutionary process of the ego myself. Now, is that more or less how it sort of happens? The ego grows in these areas, and then it's humbled through different sorts of crises and blows, as we might say. And then there's a change, an adjustment in that culture, in that area. And again, what you might see in Asia is different than what you might see in North America. Is that how you picture it? Is that an accurate sort of depiction of how you might see the world, a Kabbalist might see the world?
I'd put it this way, that what happens in the world, all in all, it's one whole complete system, ideal. The system is ideal. So why does it seem so distorted in our eyes, so rifted, so torn apart, so opposed between all of its parts? It is because we see it the way that we do, as unrelated, disconnected, that there is complete disconnection between all parts of humanity. And therefore, this is what we see. And so the entire correction of humanity is just in order to connect and see itself as one system, like a sphere, whole and complete, that in the correct connection between everyone, the middle line appears, that upper force called Creator, that through its influence over us, through the two lines, and through our attitude toward Him, from below up, through two lines, we meet, and then we connect with one another. This is what we have to do. Therefore, you're right that we see in all parts of the world people that are opposed to one another, that are helpless, like a flock that lost its way, like a herd that lost its way, that can't come back home. It's because we're not connected. Whence? We'll start connecting. We will see what's the right direction of how to get back home and reunite with the Creator.
We also see not just the people, but we also see, let's say, for example, in California is on fire. And that's a specific sort of event for that area. Beirut, there's a giant explosion. Belarus, there's protests in the streets. So each part of that system is having to undergo various occurrences in order to move from, they're being pushed to move from reception to bestowal through those acts of nature. Yes?
Nature is teaching us that we are unbalanced, that there's a disbalance between us, and this disbalance brings about different undesired phenomena, starting with particular phenomena and up to more general phenomena of different kinds. I think that what we see with the coronavirus pandemic, it is a phenomenon that actually has to teach us now how seriously we have to relate to our relationship with nature and our relationship, the relationships between us, between people, and that we have to have good relationships, good ties between us. And that way, we will stop this entire process in which we're only suffering.
That's exactly what's so interesting right now, is because we've gone, it seems, from a shift in localized occurrences to now a very obvious global common occurrence that we are all having to relate to on a global level that is showing us precisely that just how connected we are. And of course, we as Kabbalists embrace this and invite it, and I'm genuinely thrilled about it myself, but we can't say that exactly. Now, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that's called, this time that we're going through now is called the Messianic Era, yes? And it's been predicted. And it's been
predicted.
So how can Kabbalah, or can you explain how Kabbalah defines and relates this to this new Messianic Era? What does it mean? What is the Messiah? How do we?
Kabbalists, we've been waiting for this for thousands of years, and we talked about it in many of our sources, books. It's written about this in many Kabbalah books, and therefore we're very happy that finally it started stabilizing and appearing in our world. It is the best period, even though that it might be very hard. Let's hope that we will mitigate it and it will be a good time, also in terms of the processes that it has to reveal to humanity. But it's a good period, first of all, because it's the last period in humanity that after humanity corrects itself of its ego in this period and rises above its ego to connection, to mutual love between all people in the world, then in that feeling, in this connection, we will start feeling the upper world. And we will realize ourselves there, on that higher degree, as it says, that we have to help each other, and by that we all come to love, and we shall reveal the name of the Creator, which is love and connection between us. So we're very happy that we've reached a state where we realize this process, and that we actually are the ones that promote it, advance it.
Well, that leads me to my next question, really, perfectly. Pandemics historically have actually brought about a lot of great changes in society just through the sheer nature of what the pandemic does. Especially here where I live in London, for example, we have sewage and we have antiseptics and things like that. Great changes in medicine and societal structures simply due to the pandemic. So now we're sort of seeing that the changes that we're going to see coming are of a spiritual nature. This is like an upgrade of the technology that we were talking about before, this sort of human technology. How can we influence this upgrade, let's say, as Kabbalists?
We, for the very first time, are starting maybe to understand that there is some special higher force here that is taking care of all of us together, that this blow that's coming to us now, that it really encompasses, embraces all of us together. The entire world is under the same nature from above, is treating everyone equally in this regard, is something that never happened before. Everyone's experiencing it all over the planet, and it's something very special. And here we can also feel and understand that if we will connect between us and will respond correctly to that upper force, higher force that is now bringing this pandemic down upon us, making us lower, bringing us lower than all other creatures. So if we start correctly relating to that upper force, we will be able to elevate ourselves. And we will end this pandemic, this virus, correctly. Where really this entire blow will bring us to transcend to a point where we will rise to the next level of our development.
In order for that to happen, though, we have to sort of we have to awaken and alert masses to that there is a creator.
Right.
We have to reveal him in the world.
True.
I want to shoot. Let me shoot back. I'm going to go back in time. 8 years ago, we had a congress in Vilnius, almost exactly 8 years ago. You might remember. And that was sort of the birth. And during this time, we had a workshop that was like the birth of the seminar, the workshop. And it was the birth of integral education as a concept. We had a workshop. I encourage friends to go back and watch it and look. It was workshop number 3, where we started to talk about like a town. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a town that was going to be limited. Like everyone in the town was going to lose half their income. Everyone was going to have to work together to continue to have common resources. And their choice was to either abandon the town completely or to stay together and try to make it work on the limited resources they had. That was the first time we started talking about integral education and started looking at this. And here we are now, 8 years later, and it's like coming to fruition. We're starting to see that this is how people are going to live. And it stuck with me, this Congress and this period, and a lot of friends as well during that time. And we started this program of integral education from here. So the question really is, where do we stand now as an organization, B'nai Baruch, in terms of our necessity to spread this message of integral education, and how can we implement this, what we've been working on for the last 8 years to develop? Where do we go from here?
We continue to having to spread this to all of humanity to explain why do we have the pandemic that we do? What does this virus want from us? It's not just the virus. There's a very important human component about it, because it takes us out of the entire system that we have built for humanity. We won't be able to go back and live our life like we thought we will in the 20th century. Also, according to common sense, we see that it's impossible because we're depleting Earth of all of its natural resources. We create such climate turbulences and turbulences in society and in everything. One way or another, we're finishing humanity off. We're putting ourselves to death by all of our businesses, engagements. And therefore, I think that those that look at this pandemic, if you correctly look at how things were before the pandemic and toward what are we deteriorating, then it's not a deterioration. What we see today is a healing, and we are getting better. We're healing from our ego, from all of our imaginary egoistic engagements, and we'll start thinking differently about our life, about our relations. I'm very happy that now we're actually going through this process. I'm proud that I'm also a part of this process and that I'm participating in it to some extent. It's a very important process for all of humanity. We can't grasp yet what is going on with us, how fundamental and global the changes really are, not only on this planet in terms of human beings and families. So I'm very happy that I'm living in this period in time. And therefore, the times that you say that, according to how you feel, it started in Vilnius 8 years ago, then, yeah, true. From Congress to Congress, from year to year, this is how we advance. Our last Congress was on February, half a year ago, and see what happened since then. The changes that took place around the world. And can you imagine what will happen until next February 2021? I really hope that all of humanity will very quickly understand that the direction of our development has to be in connection, in love, and then we will discover new forces in society of how to rise above all of these pandemics, that really the remedy is our connection, the connection between people. And this is how we will continue into a world that is utterly good. You'll be happy.
אני רוצה לראות אותך כך.
I want to see you that way.
Well, I agree with you. I'm also proud and thrilled to be part of this era and part of this process. It's a great time to be alive. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Next time, I'd like to maybe talk to you about artificial intelligence and a whole lot of other questions I have for you, if you would allow it.
מה שתרצה.
Whatever you wish. We know each other for many years. I'll be happy to meet you again and again. Thank you very much, Todd. All the best.
Thank you, Dr. Lightman. We'll see you soon.